Dave and Dejanovic, your morning companions for talk, analysis, and key perspectives on Utah's biggest stories on KSL News Radio.
Listen up, parents. Your kid's high school is going to have a new activity. It's on top of football, basketball, softball, soccer, you know. The Utah High School Activities Association has decided to sanction esports.
And this is a monumental move forward. You have no idea how popular gaming is right now, folks. Let me try to put it in perspective. Let's look at the biggest movie blockbuster of the last several years. Top Gun Maverick. Opening weekend, Tom Cruise's sequel that was just an absolute blockbuster made $124 million opening weekend. That is a huge amount of money, right? Let's look at what gaming has done. Call of Duty. Modern Warfare 3, which, by the way, is the 23rd Call of Duty game out there. Imagine if there were 23 Top Guns. That's what we're talking about. So the 23rd version of Call of Duty in 24 hours made $400 million. Mm-hmm. Top Gun, $124 million. Modern Warfare, $400 million.
Oh, so that's a lot of money.
This is incredibly popular. And it's nice to see the High School Activities Association acknowledge that. They let the kids, they reach out to all the schools and say, what do kids want? What do they want to do in sports? What do they want to do with activities? What's at the top of their list? For years, they've been saying esports, esports, esports.
Well, I think this is going to be a hard one to swallow for parents, but I think it's good. I think kids that are into gaming should have more opportunities. And when they don't embrace esports and gaming at high schools, they have then no opportunity to maybe get a college scholarship. And this could open the door for new scholarship paths. So if you have a kid that's a gamer and you feel like, oh, they're such a couch potato, get outside and play football. Get outside and play soccer. Well, maybe that's just not their thing. And this is where they really shine. So I love this idea. I also have a few concerns about it. For example, will there be college scholarships offered? Or are we just proliferating a career path that very few are really able to, like baseball? You know, we put our kids in all of these travel sports on sports teams and pay all kinds of money. But the reality is just a handful of kids make it to the majors. So are we setting kids up for excitement? But at the end of the day, there really is no path to making a lot of money at it. I'm glad Call of Duty is making $400 million in the blink of an eye. That's great for them. But what is in it for my child?
I had a chance to talk to the Utah High School Activities Association earlier this morning.
Yeah.
And I wanted to ask, what led up to this? Are you a little worried about some pushback? Are parents going to be freaking out because making gaming a sanctioned sports, esports, an official thing in high schools? How did you get there? So I talked to Jan Whitaker, who's with the UHSAA.
I think there's a lot of people that don't understand how big esports is now. I mean, it's in all of our colleges, our universities. There's scholarships given to this. It's just really kind of exploding. It's a little bit different than what you think of when you first think of esports or kids playing, you know, video games in their basement. It's just grown so much.
That's such a great point, because I think maybe first blush, some parents would be like, oh, that's all we need is encouraging more kids to sit on a couch in front of a screen. I guess, how would you respond to that?
Gaming, it helps a large group of students participate in something for their school, get involved with their school, and learn all those great things that you learn by participating on a sports team. They become part of their school. They can represent their school for pride. And there's just so many things that they're learning and growing and that can carry them throughout their life that they can learn from this, you know, activity or, you know, any time that you participate in a sport. So there are a lot of students that are already that are participating in sports that also will participate in esports, but there's a big group of kids that we're now going to be able to participate in something for their school, and we're excited about that.
So when it is sanctioned, what does that open up as far as resources? Does the school allocate money, or can they improve fundraising? Do they have coaches?
Yes, all of those things. It kind of opens up that that realm for those students to have access to all those things. So under our umbrella, schools can decide if they want to sanction an activity or sponsor an activity. So we have many sports and activities, and schools can kind of pick and choose depending on the interest from their student body, what they're going to sanction. So by the Utah High School Activity Association sanctioning a sport or activity, that doesn't mean the school has to participate in that. It's kind of an option for them.
Does this have a season like all the other activities, or is this like a year-round thing?
No, we have a definite season. Our boards have determined that for esports, at least this first year of sanctioning will be from January to April. So it's kind of a hybrid in between our winter and our spring.
So do we expect this to launch next year or the year after?
So this has been sanctioned for the 2025-2026 school year. So that gives us almost 2 years to kind of get everything in place. So we're creating committees to decide on things like what if we're going to use a different platform, what platform we'll use, what games are going to be played. So there's a lot of things yet to be determined.
That's a great question as far as what games are going to be played, because there could certainly be some drama of whether or not a game is appropriate for high school students. Have you put in any guardrails?
That will definitely be something that we look at. You know, there's so many different games that could be played. There's many states that already have an esports program under their associations, and it's just growing and growing. Every year, more states add esports as a sanctioned activity or sport, and they're all playing different games. So that's why we'll have a committee put together of coaches, the Coaches Association, administrators, and look at the different games and the options that there are to play and make sure that it's, you know, high school friendly.
I was going to say the most popular games right now are largely first-person shooters. Is that something that would be allowed, possibly?
I would be surprised if that happens, but we'll, you know, let the committee and our boards make that decision.
That's going to be tricky for them to decide, but I do agree with her that this is such a growing activity, gaming for kids, that kids who are good at gaming probably love to have a season. And she said it would run from January to April. And this doesn't start right away, right? We're good a couple years out from it officially kicking off in
Utah. 26.
And it would be in high schools.
Yes. Yeah, and I was fascinated about that angle of it. Of I started thinking, okay, well, what games are you going to allow?
Mm-hmm.
Because I guarantee your kids are playing Call of Duty. They're playing Fortnite. They're playing these first-person shooter games. And some parents would have a real problem with that, with their kids playing those kind of games as an officially sanctioned sport in high school.
So let's take phone calls. If your son or daughter came to you and said, Mom, Dad, I want to play esports in high school. Do you have a problem with that? Do you tell them yeah? Do you tell them no? Let's hear from you. Come on. Give us your phone calls next.
Dave and Genevieve.
Gaming as a sport coming to Utah high schools in the very near future. And I think this is going to cause a dilemma for lots of parents. We're going to take your live phone calls at 801-575-TALK. 801-575-TALK. Would you let your child go the gaming route, the e-sport route? This is going to be a legit sanctioned sport in high schools. The season will run from January to April, according to the High School Activities Association. And this would pose a real dilemma in our home, because you know what also happens from January to May? Baseball and softball. And my kids grew up playing both, but they were also really good at gaming. I think I would have said no. I think I would have said no to gaming and said, get out there on the field and run around the bases.
It would be hard. I think it would be hard for a parent if a kid plays a spring sport, track, softball, baseball, something like that, and they said, you know what, I want to, instead of go to track practice, I want to sit on my couch and practice with my team, because some of these teams will practice several hours a day, 3, 4, 5 hours a day because they're doing it anyway. They love playing games, and you do it or in an organized way. That would be a hard thing for me to say, yeah, that's fine. Whatever you love, whatever you want to do, stay inside. That's a tough pill to swallow.
So parents, 801-575-TALK, give us a call. If athletics or e-sport, what's your choice? What direction, what guidance would you give your child? What battle are you going to go down fighting for? You spoke earlier this morning with Jan Whitaker with the Utah High School Activities Association. They are going to legitimately sanction this. This isn't like sometimes your kids can show up and sometimes they can't. They will have actual matches. Is that what they're called? Matches between schools. And she said, like, look, this is becoming so popular. The Activities Association wanted to make sure it was addressed.
I think there's a lot of people that don't understand how big esports is now. I mean, it's in all of our colleges, our universities. There's scholarships given to this. It's just really kind of exploding. It's a little bit different than what you think of when you first think of esports or kids playing, you know, video games in their basement. It's just grown so much.
I wonder how many times we have parents have spent money on travel ball and thinking our kids are going to get a college scholarship instead of looking at it and saying, you know what? Maybe their best path to get their schooling paid for, maybe their best career in the future is to go into gaming, to lean into it 100%. One thing I didn't realize, my kids will watch some gaming on YouTube or Twitch, whatever it might be. I had no idea they had sportscasters that are announcing the game, just like we listen to sportscasters in actual sports, but they call them shoutcasters.
NKT takes it to game four.
Holy crap!
They won the top side 4v4.
I didn't understand any of the words they were saying. I had no idea what they were talking about, but could you feel the energy in their voices?
Yeah.
This is how our kids feel about gaming. Why in the world would we say no to that?
On our KSL News Radio Facebook page, we posed this question earlier this morning and getting lots of parents weighing in. Brooke says, they do it anyway. You might as well make it useful. Because there might be a path for scholarship, too. Now, you'd said something to me a couple of days ago when we thought, you know, let's go really in-depth in our 10 o'clock hour on Wednesday on this e-sport coming to high schools. And you said it's a short-lived career, though. What did you mean by that?
Okay, so professional gaming is so competitive because you're dealing with the entire world. The world plays games. So you'll be competing against teams from China and Japan and the Netherlands here in the United States. So it is incredibly, incredibly competitive. But one thing that is kind of hilarious about professional gamers, it requires such fast reactions that you basically age out at 25. All the best gamers are teenagers, 15, 18 years old. Yeah. By the time you're 25, you're a dinosaur. Your reflexes, your reactions are so slow that you've already aged out.
We got a call from Eagle Mountain, Dave. Hun, are you there?
Hi. Good morning.
Hi. What do you think about this esports as a path for high schoolers? Would you pick it for your child over, like, baseball?
I would, actually. It's just like any other sport. I mean, I played sport in high school, and, you know, it's a pick and choose. They can play football off-season, and they can play the esport, you know, or they can play another sport, golfing. To me, my son, he's 26, and he played esports, you know, basically with his friends, and he made it into like a little semi-career. A lot of things that weren't discussed was it actually builds teamwork because they have to communicate constantly with their team. They talk about strategizing, planning. There's a lot of thought process that goes into it, which I was really surprised. And my son actually joined the league off of school in California. That's where he's at. And he actually went traveling, and he was sponsored by big companies, you know, like Logitech, and they were paying for his trips and paying for his equipment. And in turn, it's almost like a sport where they put their logo on their shirts. And if they win, a lot of kids see that, and they think the success was attributed to that technology. They buy it, so they get sponsored and paid for that. I mean, it's just like any other sport. You know, if you're the top 5%, you can make money out of it. And, yeah, sure enough, 27, he's going on 27 right now. He's not into it as much, but he's very career-driven because of the fact that he knew how to communicate and how to build teamwork. I think it's amazing.
What a fantastic story.
Also, like, we have the most fantastic listeners who call with the best stories. Oh, that was an incredible ride. Thank you for taking us on your son's journey. Good for him. Jake from Magna, what do you think about esports as being sanctioned in high schools?
Well, I've got two opinions on it. One is, I think, a good reason. The other kind of has a catch to it. The first reason being that kids can learn strategy and long-term strategy, short-term strategy without having to do something intensely physical like football where you could suffer a head concussion. You can do that without getting the concussion. That's number one. The additional reason that I think that we may inevitably have to approve stuff like this is because if you look what's going on right now in the education system is that a lot of schools are exploring using Meta and Quest VR headsets to teach kids, meaning going completely remote, which means sports may be going away and turning to things like this because of the nature of being isolated.
We can't let sports go away. I wouldn't think. Jake, you think that's a real possibility?
Oh, I would hope not, because yeah. I see benefit in being physical. I'm just saying that if we turn to the Meta QR headsets for education, then it could compromise orchestras.
Yeah.
Yeah, because choirs, orchestras, and even the sports. And I think we should not step away from that inevitably.
Like, Jake, thank you for hurting my brain. I mean, it just is like, I can't even, it's such a far cry from when my kids were in school. And my youngest graduated in 2018. So it's like, and certainly nowhere in even the same hemisphere as when I was going to school. So this is, it's so much to think about. But certainly, I mean, gaming in schools, I think it's great. But I don't know how much of a career it would be down the road.
It's a huge career. There are huge opportunities.
So after you're done with the actual gaming, you could go into other directions?
Absolutely.
Okay.
You could become a shoutcaster. You know, there's...
They use AI for that, Dave.
No. This is real people with energy and excitement. Just like we have music and theater and debate, why not have gaming? There's so many interests out there. There's so many careers. I love trying to find something for every kid. And you might not have an athletic bone in your body, and you cannot participate.
I do like this avenue, where you're going.
So do you go music? Well, maybe I can't carry a tune. Maybe I'm shy in front of people. I can't do theater. This is a great way. It comes to kids where they're at. I think it's a great step forward.
It reminds me of I forced my flute. I grew up playing flute and piccolo and saxophone. I know, I'm just talking guitar. Those were my jams. I also played tennis several hours a day. I love tennis. But I remember forcing my kids to play flute, and they would. It was just miserable for them. I'd pick them up from school over here at Eastwood Elementary, and my oldest daughter would be walking out with the flute, and she's like, I hate this thing. It's horrible. I don't even know. So
trust me, listening's no picnic either, daughter.
Yeah. Esports it would have been for sure for her, no question about it, although she was a phenomenal softball player. Hey, straight ahead, liar, liar, pants on fire. Dave, nearly one in five people admit they are not honest with themselves when it comes to making a budget. So I guess the better term is liar, liar, budget on fire. And there's three other things that came out in a survey about budget making that you got to hear. I'm going to bounce these off of you. I'm going to bounce them off your wallet next.